The news we learned yesterday about criminal charges for former state officials involved in the Flint water crisis is starting to sink in. The city's residents, many of whom experience serious medical problems, including a lethal outbreak of Legionnaire's disease, may be able to take part in a multi-million dollar civil settlement, but the question of accountability remains. Hence, these new charges filed Thursday against former Governor Rick Snyder, the state's former chief medical officer, and others. We called up Sheldon Neely, the mayor of Flint, to talk about the case. Mayor Neely, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me here. I'm so glad to be here with you and your listeners.
May I ask, what were your first thoughts when you heard that the Attorney General's office was going to file the new criminal charges this week?
Well, you know, I was very grateful to the Attorney General, Dana Nessel, for making good on her commitment to the residents of the city of Flint and the state of Michigan once the initial charges was dropped, making good on those commitments that said that she would be forwarding charges at some time in the future, and now that has come to fruition.
Can I ask what this level of prosecution, what you think it means to Flint? I mean, we have charges against a former governor, as well as felony involuntary manslaughter charges for the Legionnaire's disease cases that resulted in several residents' deaths. Do you think this looks like an appropriate level of accountability?
Yeah, well, you know, what it really says to not only the residents of the city of Flint, what it says to our nation is that there's no one above the law. And as we look at civil unrest in our nation now, we understand that sometimes that communities of low to moderate income levels or communities of color are not as always valued. But I think, moreover, what this says is that no one's above the law where a former governor can be charged with crimes through their tenure of servitude to the residents of the state of Michigan. But, you know, so it speaks as this is a very, very big, resounding type of charge where a former governor can be charged for not doing an effective job for residents in the state of Michigan.
You know, it's one thing to file charges of this nature. It's another thing to get a conviction or to see some kind of restitution. Do you think folks in Flint, that they feel that convictions would be important to, you know, that maybe, yes, the charges are there, but what's really going to happen? Where is the, you know, is that level of accountability of a conviction important to them?
Well, absolutely. You know, many residents are frustrated and they have a lot of emotions surrounding what happened because this happened to them in a personal way and also to some children that were negatively impacted for the poor water quality. But what happens here is I don't believe that Attorney General Dana Nessel and her team would have brought forth charges that they did not believe they had a good opportunity to prove that they're charged to be guilty. And I believe that that they brought charges forth that they think they can convict on.
Does that matter to you whether or not convictions come in?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before I was mayor of this community, I'm a resident of this community. I live here, my mother, my children, my wife and I, we're residents also. I'm just an enhanced resident. I'm a resident with a title to serve other residents. But yes, it's important to me to make sure that people are held culpable for the crimes that or potential crimes that could have been committed against this community. And so it's very important to me as a resident, to me as a mayor, and to me as a United States citizen, that people, if they've done things that harmed other people, not only is it a crime against humanity, but it's a crime on our legal system. In our legal system, they should be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law.
I wanted to ask you a bit about the civil lawsuit that is also still playing out. We are waiting for federal judge Judith Levy to approve the conditions that were announced in December, a $641 million settlement. May I ask what that money, if it eventually comes through, what it will do for folks in Flint, and perhaps also what remains to be done for them?
Right. You know, when we talk about the $641 million, we have to talk about a number that's still a moving number. It initially was $600 million from the state of Michigan, and then other plaintiffs, made application and defendants made settlements. And so it got to $641.5 million. And I think that number is still going to climb because you still have other defendants out there that may be wanting to settle. But I believe that number is going to climb. And to the second part of your question is that money is going to be used to bring whole those individuals that were negatively impacted by the poor water quality, and also for the children that has somewhat changed the trajectory of their lives forever. We know that, you know, contamination of water and lead in your water has a devastating, sometimes a devastating effect on young people and children. And so this is going to help them to remediate, you know, some of the things that they have to, we're going to have to encounter moving forward, but also to be able to compensate those that have been negatively impacted. But there's no amount of money that can compensate a family for a devastating happening to their child, whereby if they were impacted to where their cognitive level of thinking has been changed. There's no money, not amount of money that's enough, but this is a going into a direction of trying to have progress moving forward to be able to help those families as we move forward as a state and a city, as we move forward as a community.
How has the pandemic impacted people's ability to get the kind of services that they need to deal with health issues? I'm maybe thinking particularly of kids with special education needs.
Well, you know, I like to say that we're at the intersection of crisis inside the city of Flint, and our nation has changed. But in the city of Flint, we still have an ongoing water crisis, and we have civil unrest, and now we have a pandemic, and so it has hampered our abilities. But we are much more than a community of victims; we are a community of victors, and so I would like to think that we will be able to overcome any particular challenges. We just need a plan, a strategy, and the resources to do so. And so the portion of resources is going to be starting to come forth with the settlement dollars. Our plan of action as it relates to education and getting the services to those that are in most need, we're doing a really good job trying to provide those resources and those applications to those who are in need. But moreover, I think that we're overcoming our challenges every day. And that's why I speak to the mindset of being a victor versus a victim. And so we have to first believe, and then we have to plan. We do understand that hope is not a strategy, and we have to put good strategies forward to be able to help those families and those people that have been negatively impacted by all three of those things that I have enumerated, you know, as far as being civil unrest, the water crisis, and or the pandemic. And so we're working very hard, and we're doing a really good job here in the city of Flint throughout all of the challenges that we have. But if we have like-minded people, I think we can overcome it. And I'm a strong man of faith. And so I believe in prayer, planning, and partnership as the three P's that I call them. And then we'll be able to get to the other side of this.
I don't envy your health department right now, given the ongoing responsibilities from the water crisis and the pandemic. And now it looks like a lot of the responsibility for coordinating vaccination distribution is falling on the shoulders of our state's city and county health departments. Of course, you know, Genesee County may be shouldering a bit of that burden. But what have you told your health director and the others there about how to prioritize right now?
Well, what we told them, what we shared with them in partnership, because, you know, our city is in partnership with our county and our county is in partnership with the state. But what we've instructed them to do here in our case, and we've been proactive inside the city of Flint, so we don't wait on any of our other partners necessarily to safeguard and protect lives. There's one deficit that you can never overcome, and that's a death deficit. So the preservation of life is the most and the most primary thing that we're advocating for. And in the city of Flint, you know, we know that as a primarily African-American community, that African-Americans were harmed more by this pandemic than other nationalities. And so we were able to close the gap here inside the city of Flint with the disparity. And that's through our proactive thinking. And so we're going to continue to engage in our proactive thinking and securing the partnerships, the other partnerships that's needed to make sure that we preserve lives in our community. I think, moreover, as a nation, if they follow such a philosophy as that, the preservation of life, that we will, everything else falls into place after that prioritization, making that our number one priority.
What message do you have for residents of Flint right now as they go through, as you say, these intersecting public health crises?
Yeah, I think it's important to say that we need to come together more in partnership, you know, find things that we have more in common with one another than things that we have not in common. And so if we think together on that front with like thinking, I think all things will fall into place. And so I want everybody to be encouraged and speak words with a heartbeat versus dead words. And so let's follow our actions and preserve lives and work very hard to be able to overcome what we all face.
Sheldon Neely is the mayor of Flint. Mayor Neely, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you and God bless.